All right. It is time for some more mind games. This week we have Stop Your Friendly's own Mudkip, aka at Back That Bear Up on Twitter. We're going to be talking about the Smash Direct that was this morning. If you want to censor the date, it is August 8th. So we're going to talk about the Direct. We're going to talk about Stop Your Friendlies, some stuff with community building, a lot of stuff, Melee. It'll be great. It'll be a lot of fun. But for right now, some Insane in the Rain music. How you doing, Chuck?
Hey, thanks for having me. What's up?
Not much. So, how you like the format?
I like the format. It was groovy. I felt like I was coming out on a talk show. I think you needed like a laugh track or a audience like applause track.
I mean,
it has to feel like Conan O'Brien, you know? No, it was great.
Of all the people you choose, the one dude that I've actually been on his show.
Really? Nice. Conan's funny. He's a good one.
He came to the International Science Fair once, and it was great.
Nice.
I told him I was Captain Planet because I did like an eco-friendly project with like pretty good results, and he looked at me. He's like, oh no, this is when I realize you're crazy. And that was just how his segment on the Science Fair ended. Just what him looking at me.
Or did he think that you were crazy?
He thought I was crazy. He's just like, this is the part of the interview that I realize you're crazy. I'm like, oh, shit. Okay. Whoops. Sorry, Conan.
No, you're not.
No. I just did some chemistry as a kid. That's all there was to it. So,
what's your favorite, before we move on, your Captain America or Captain Planet, what's your favorite, which one of your favorite characters? Or what's your favorite power?
Probably Earth.
Heart, dude.
I mean, but Earth is like in Avatar, in like any superhero thing, the person who controls the Earth is the coolest. Like Terra in Teen Titans, the fucking coolest. She is amazing. Rip Terra.
Rip. Rest in pepperonis.
Rest in pepperonis for Terra. All right, so for those of you who don't know who Mudkip is, you can go ahead and introduce yourself.
Okay. Hi, my name's Mudkip. I go O2 at every bracket ever. I am the worst smasher in the world, and I still play Peach. I'm kidding. I was told myself I was going to drag it up at this interview and have fun with it. I started as a volunteer at like Big House 3. My name's Mudkip. Chuck, I've been doing administrative and Smash TO kind of work for about 3 or 4 years now, and I'm still a competitor, though I don't have much time to compete at these majors. And basically I'm just like an event coordinator now, and I help out at the major Smash tournaments and make sure they are smooth as butter.
I feel like that's the most Chuck way to describe it. Make sure that tournaments run smooth as butter.
Yeah, dude. I mean, like, I don't like when waves and pools run late. It makes me frustrated. I want the viewers at home to have a great stream experience. So,
see.
Keep it moving.
Mudkip looking out for the people. So, in terms of making sure things are running smoothly, Ultimate's going to have a lot of rules.
I don't know what they're going to do about Ultimate. I mean, like, I think they're going to have a better stage list, which is hype. And
right.
I mean, like, the Battlefield block is cool, but I mean, like, you still have Battlefield, so it doesn't even matter. But, because, you know, they have the Omega Final Destination mode, and
right.
The Battlefield, that's cool. I mean, I still think you're going to see Smashville, and maybe a little FD, and then your normals, but, like, I'm excited for the air directional air dodge. I think some of the mechanics are going to speed it up a little bit. Like the perfect shield release is really fun. It's kind of similar to like a parry, just hold down, like lift off. And that's like still like a rhythm exercise, just like power shielding kind of is. So that'll be really fun.
I mean, and with today's Direct, we found out there are 103 stages. And you can like stage morph. Do you think that we're going to have to, in terms of like running events with all of this new stuff that we just kind of put into the game, which, you know, I'm not mad about it at all. It all looks fantastic. Do you think it'll streamline running events, or do you think it could make it a little slower?
I think that maybe the first one or two majors might be a little weird or wonky, but even going into the first one, I trust people like Bear and Vaseth and Josh Marcotte and all of these Smash 4 like competent players to work together as a team and just say, hey, like this is the neutrals and these are the most like legit, and maybe a couple counter picks here and there. But I don't see, I mean, we've come so far in the meta of all Smash, and I don't see that being an issue.
Yeah. So in terms of today's Direct, we got new characters with the Belmonts, Simon and Richter, and King K. Rool.
King K. effing Rool, dude. I want a Dixie Kong because, you know, I want that upbeat helicopter. But King K. Rool is going to tear people up. I'm into it.
Hold on, I need to find an image. But no, so we got those. We found out again there are 103 stages. Each stage we already knew had an Omega, a Battlefield, and a Final Destination like version. We find out there is, I mean, less important for competitive, but still really cool, 28 hours of music in the game.
Yeah, isn't it like over like 900 or 1,000 songs or something?
It's just under 900. songs.
I mean, I'm into it. I mean, I remember when I got like the Melee CD from a Nintendo Power magazine, and it had like the orchestral version of Fountain of Dreams, and like that just set like the standard for like Smash music, and it's just been incredible. Like, despite what you think about Brawl's meta, like Brawl is an aesthetic presentation. I mean, it's a little watercolory and like it's cool, a little too realistic, but the music was incredible. The music of Brawl is wonderful, and they've just been consistent with each release.
I mean, we could talk about Brawl for a long time, because in terms of like the audio for all the music for Brawl is really good, and I think the step up from Melee to Brawl set a standard for what Smash 4 had to be. So, So we got stages, music, and then all of the like mode stuff. So there's a tournament mode, built-in basically Iron Man and crew battles.
They have built-in crew battles?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm really excited. It looks the same basic idea as a standard crew battle, just drafting characters, and then one player can play all five characters, or it'll be each person playing a different matchup. So
nice.
That'll be built in. So I think that'll, you know, there'll be a lot of side events at tournaments just because it's available. It's right there. But let's talk about, I'm gonna post an image into the Discord. Okay. Sadly.
Triple DDD.
So this image,
it's three DDDs, but it's three of them. It's like double DDD, but like
it's DDD cubed.
Yeah, he's the left one, he looks a little strung out, like rode hard and hung up wet. The middle one, he's just cheery and jovial, and then the right one, he's on meth again. So I don't really know what's going on with this DDD. He's cool, like, though. I love DDD.
But so this picture, did you watch the King K. Rool reveal?
I have not. What's this picture? Give me some context here.
So basically, at the end of the Direct, the screen shakes and Sakurai's like, oh, that's all I have for this Direct. And the screen shakes again. It's like, all right, clearly you're lying to me, Sakurai. It cuts to DK and Diddy, like, sitting, eating bananas. Entire thing shakes. They get thrown around. They look out the window, and a giant shadowy figure of King K. Rool comes out. And it's just DDD. And he just takes off his shit, the King K. Rool mask and costume, and just starts laughing at them. And then King K. Rool sneaks up behind them and smacks the shit out of DDD.
So then he actually shows up. That's cute.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah, I haven't seen
but that resulted in this, and I think this is really the highlight of the direct, the fact that this image exists.
Yeah, it's I'm perturbed. Like, it's definitely an eerie and intimidating image. Like, Photoshop some stuff on it. Is it like the new Melee Hell banner? What?
But actually,
I'm aware of our community's meta. Don't play me. You guys were watching the live stream of Melee Hell updates during Evo. Don't worry. I know everyone was. All the title changes, all the pictures, every post, every 2 seconds. That stuff's like Twitter. Like, Facebook gets popping on Melee Hell.
I got out of Melee Hell. I got in and I was like, no, I can't handle this. I am too thin skinned for this degen culture here. I can't handle the degen.
I have embraced it, as in I don't like participate, but I love to spectate. And like, I will kind of ironically or unironically participate sometimes, but I think this match is really unique. I mean, like, we just are this bitter fighting game outcasts, so we're just used to being insane and letting our freak flags fly.
So going back to the direct, one of the things that came up, they for final smashes, they're implementing a meter. Because they're like, well, it's better than having the final smash balls, which
yeah,
is
I saw that. So it's like a cloud meter. Like, how many meters is that guy gonna have?
That I mean,
you got like all these meters.
As you play him, there's like a 2-inch bar of just meters hanging over him. It's like,
yeah,
all right.
Does he have like a super and an ultimate? Like, this is like,
he's got a jump meter. He's got a. But yeah, so do you think we're gonna see final smashes in competitive Smash?
Absolutely not. Come on.
Okay.
I wanted to hear from you.
I
mean, I think they're hyped to watch, and I'm actually really excited to see every characters, especially like the returning Brawl characters and like the new final smashes that they've had to do. But also, they didn't have final smashes at all, did they? So there's gonna be like just what, right, 67 new final smashes that they're creating. So that's hype. I mean, like, fighting game fan here, and like, not safe for work, but like, how many times did you like love watching the fatalities every time a new Mortal Kombat came out?
Oh,
I mean, like, that, I mean, it's fucked up and horrible, but some of them are hilarious, and like, some of the final smashes are going to be like lit. They're going to be super hype and anime and like crazy, and like, Sheik's going to like ninja through you like a million times, like Brawl, and it's gonna be like on steroids.
Oh my god,
I'm ready for some Baiken Guilty Gear celebration.
I got when final smashes got introduced, as someone who I started, literally the first video game I have a memory of playing is Mortal Kombat 2 when I was like 4. Because, you know, we had two games. We had Mortal Kombat 2 and Bubsy. And Bubsy was shit. So the concept of like a fatality or a final smash just tugs at my heartstrings. I love that shit.
Yeah, they're hype. I mean, I don't know. I grew up playing all those fighting games, and like, it was just always fun landing those kind of sick moves. Even in Melee, like, when you land that Sheik Fair and you're like, yeah, like, destruction!
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's all about destruction, you know?
So, because everyone and their mother has already just torn through the direct, the final thing I have, given what you know about running Melee, running Smash 4, and those rule sets, what you know about Smash Ultimate so far, if you had to choose a rule set, what would you choose right now?
I'd probably modify the Smash 4 rule set, since it's basically like a version, not even 1.1 or 1.2, but it's like basically a version 2.0 of Smash 4. That said, like, I would refrain from even implementing any rule sets or changing anything major until I see more of the gameplay, because the whole like determining how many stocks you're gonna have and like the timer and like which stages we want, like, you're just gonna have to see the gameplay and like see how fast the game is going and how quick stocks are disappearing and how campy it can turn into. Like, we need to look at the outliers. Like, what is the most campy and defensive characters here? What are the most DPS rush down characters here? Where's our middle ground here, like our median? Like, I mean, it's that's how we wound up with two stock matches. What is it, like 5 minutes for Smash 4, and then like Brawl was like 6 minutes 3, and then Melee is 4:8. So I mean, it just kind of depends on like the speed of the mind games and the meta going on.
I mean, you know, I'm kind of in the same boat. I think the game should sort of mirror Smash 4. I do think that they should move up to three stocks. I'm not a huge fan of two.
I think it will actually, I mean, from the looks of the game, I think it might move to three because it just might be faster. And like with right. Perfect Shield Punish things happening and some air dodge stuff, like you're going to see hopefully maybe some stocks ending sooner. I mean, I don't know what if they've like multiplied or had a proportionate like hit stun to like melee or perhaps like in between. I mean, the air dodge thing is huge. Do you go into free fall afterwards, or are you still able to air dodge in directions multiple times?
I think you go into free fall afterwards.
Because that's really important. I mean, like, I think you would go into free fall if they're going to introduce that into the game. Because, I mean, like, you can't just, like, air dodge up and then air dodge left and then air dodge right and then land. Like,
right. I think, like, yeah, I think you go into free
fall. Everyone's jiggling.
You go into free fall.
Oh, God. No, I mean, there would be, like, punish cooldown lag on each air dodge, but, like, it would just be stupid. So. I think we're just going to see a faster game, and I think that it would be three stocks. I think that it'll go back to kind of the Brawl rule set of like stocks and timer, and then maybe four if it's faster. We'll see. Sakurai could actually just be trolling everyone because he's paid attention to the numerous frustrations or constructive and suggestive criticisms about his engines. He's just ignored them. So the fact that he's saying everyone's here, every stage is here, everything. What if he literally just drops the game with no footage and just has L canceling and all this stuff in it, and then all of a sudden we have like the hybrid that we wanted of Smash 4 and Melee, and everyone wins, and it's just the mic drop of the millennium, and he never makes another Smash game again. I mean, that's kind of like the fantasy I went to bed with last night when I heard about the direct.
No,
but you know,
after the direct, so in the direct when they told us they have, before they introduced King K. Rool, they're like, oh wait, we've added Simon, Dark Samus, and Krom. And so they showed the banner that has all of the characters, and they showed those three characters being added to the banner. And then immediately I'm just like, all right, well, I see at least 50 spots that new characters can be. So like I'm expecting Goku, Spyro, Crash Bandicoot. Maybe Scorpion,
Crash Bandicoot,
Baraka. And actually, if I'm getting a Mortal Kombat character, I want Baraka.
No, it's just Shang Tsung, and he's the only Mortal Kombat character that's in the game, and then he can mutate into any character like immediately.
God,
I mean, that would just be so fun.
No, he can mutate into any of the Mortal Kombat characters. That's the
oh my god.
You just immediately have Sub-Zero just throwing out ice balls.
Tracer from Overwatch. I mean, like, is that what you were saying on Facebook chat the other day?
Yeah.
Can you imagine her just shifting all over the place? Like, you can't catch her. Like, there would be like Captain Falcon's movement speed on steroids.
Or what's his name? Agent 57?
Soldier 76?
Soldier 76.
Agent 57?
Soldier. Agent. What's the agent from Hitman? I think I'm mixing the two.
I don't know. I never played Hitman.
I haven't either. I just know that his name is Agent something. But yeah, no, I'm expecting 50 characters. I'm expecting Melee HD to be just like bundled into the game because why not?
Yeah, I my biggest complaint and frustration with the game is the low lag punish on like rolls and like how shield stuns a little different and things like that. I think there just needs to be a little more just stun situations and cooldown situations. And that's, like, the only thing that I would really super want. Like, I'm excited about a lot of the content, but in the very core of Chuck, I'm a competitive fighting gamer, and I want a deeper and more immersive meta and system, and I think that they are hopefully finding a good balance of it all. And I think that Smash Ultimate will either succeed really well or just succeed, and I think it's just a positive direction from Smash 4. I mean, the yeah. things that went wrong with Smash 4 were noticed. They even, like, nerfed out the hoo-ha shit from like what was that, like Aftershock or whatever that term it was, where like HBox was hoo-haing everyone and like winning with DK.
Oh,
it was
God,
like
yeah.
Some like Florida tournament like 2013 or 14 when the game came out, and it was like really bad. And I just think that they're gonna head in a good direction with the game. I think they've been stubborn about some things, but it's the fifth iteration of it, like come on.
I mean, I will say, I think you and I can both agree that Leffen can be a stickler about making sure that, like, the game he's playing and the like scene around it is working decently. Would you agree?
Absolutely.
And in that same vein, I think Leffen has a really good eye for making sure that he's kind of like looking out for the best of the community, even if he can do it in a way that comes off as abrasive.
I have. Good opinions about Leffen. I think that his
storyline. No, I have a lot.
I think that sometimes he's a little bit of a diva, and I think that he knows that, so it makes it somewhat okay. But I like the guy. I think he's done good stuff for Smash, and he just freaking won Evo.
I went into Smash and Splash being like, nah, I'm not gonna want to like hang out with Leffen. Leffen just seems like he's insufferable. And then I come out and I'm like, dude, Leffen is such a like thoughtful, very very sincere, dedicated gamer, and he just wants to make sure that the game he plays is running as well as it possibly can.
I agree with that. I think as a competitor, he's assertive and constructive, and sometimes not, but or both at the same time, and that's okay too, because I can be a bitch but also be right, and yeah. And I'm used to that. But I think Leffen and I butt heads sometimes, but I also think he's a good guy. It's just, it's a paradigm shift for me, because in social situations or just some times when he's just been around and we're talking at tournaments or kind of just like socializing, he's great. But in times when I have bad news for him as a TO, it doesn't go too well. And there's been times where he's just been a little Beyonce and Michelle needs to sit down. So it's just a little frustrating, because I like the guy a lot. And from a TO standpoint, he's kind of I need to babysit him a little bit. Not really babysit, because that's condescending. I just have to like work with him. And like, I've dropped negative like bombs on him before. And I'm always like, hey, dude, I'm just the messenger, or I'm sorry, I have to be bad cop. And then it still doesn't go well. So then I'm just like, yo, dude, like, I'm your homie. And then it just kind of just moves on. But then like an hour later, he'll be a sweetheart to me. So it's like, Leffen's cool. I just get, he's in the zone sometimes. And he deserves to be in that zone, because he's just freaking won Evo. Like, his mindset and his approach to the game. And I mean, if that's the sacrifice it takes, if he's a little terse or short to me to play that well and save Melee from a ball of bear, I'm happy with it. Sorry. Evo was really great for him, though. I had a great time watching it. Oh, I think Melee was right there. Smash 4 was pretty great. Like, everyone had a great time.
Smash 4 was...
I said pretty great.
It was
interesting. I said pretty great. I think Smash 4 was pretty great.
I mean, okay. Mind you, my view on it is Smash 4 is going out. I would much rather Smash 4 go out with two best friends having a fun time.
I think that was kind of overhyped or presumptuous of everyone to kind of like make these huge like charades about it all and just say like, oh, that's bull crap and I can't believe people are here. So, I mean, like, the people have worked that hard and they've known each other a long time. So if you know the storyline and you're inside the community, you get that joke and you're in on that vibe. You think that's cute. But to be the devil's advocate here, if you're a Street Fighter player and you're a Marvel vs. Capcom player and you're a Tekken player and you've come from the 90s playing these games growing up, and you've known that Smash has tried to be a part of your family, and then they disrespect your house and when they come to your house for dinner. It wasn't like disrespect, I don't want to say that word, but I think that it was just kind of poor taste to do that, because we're fighting so hard to be accepted by the traditional fighting game community, and I think we've come really far. And I would even say, in terms of like Street Fighter people, we're mostly accepted. Like, there's Street Fighter at a lot of these events, and like Ricky Ortiz is there, and like we all love each other and we're there. But Smash as a community is still fighting to be a fighting game officially in the eyes of traditional fighting game players. And actions like that and the media and what they respond to doesn't do well for that objective.
Actually, going back to Leffen, because I totally forgot I was making a point, and I was going to say, in terms of why I think Ultimate is on a really good track to succeed, after E3, Leffen was just like, guys, I think Sakurai's actually listening. Like, he tweeted, if there is something that you guys want to see, tweet it. And Sakurai's listening. And Leffen is very seemingly upbeat about Smash Ultimate. Like, it seems like he's very genuinely looking forward to that game. And that gives me like an odd sense of hope that, you know, it's going to be better than Smash 4 and it'll feel good enough for Melee players, not to necessarily play competitively, but to play. Because it definitely feels like I'm never going to play Smash 4 with any Melee player.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of people that play both. Definitely tried to get into both, and I think most of the Smash 4 players are just going to play Ultimate. I mean, I think it's just a better version of that, and it's still different enough for Melee to just help be a different Smash game for people who don't like Melee. And it's okay not to like Melee. Melee is very fast and has a stupidly hard entry barrier of tech skill that no other fighting game has. And yes, it's rewarding, but it's also like superfluous. And
yeah,
but then again, it's not, because I mean, like, the meta has gotten so deep where people have like crazy mobility and movement. So I mean, it's just about what kind of games you want to play. Like, I mean, Smash 4 has like tons and tons of matchups and tons of like counter picking and like that type. And Melee is very polarized with the top 8 or 9, you know. I mean, it's just different games. I think people should just one unit, you know.
I entered into Smash with Smash 4. Like, I had known that Melee was the bigger game, but I was just like, I would watch Melee. I'm like, I have no idea what's going on. I can't follow this. My eyes aren't this fast yet. And I got into Smash 4 and I was like, that was a great way for me to enter into Smash. And through Smash 4, I developed a love for Melee. I can't pick up a controller.
I played Melee in like high school. I started with a mod of Brawl that I really liked on a competitive level. And then I shifted into Melee and it was great. Like, I started with a not Melee 2.
Don't worry, you can. This is not an
Project M, the game who must not be named. Project Melee. Well, it's not Project Melee. I guess it originally was years ago.
I mean, yeah, originally.
Project Melee Voldemort. Project Voldemort.
Chuck, I'm not Nintendo sponsored.
I don't care. I was super calculated, and I did it to see if you'd provoke me, because I'm such a Smash professional. LOL.
No, I cannot believe that Swanner just sat at Shine with a banner that said definitely not a Smash or a PMTO.
I love it. He's great.
I love
it. Swanner is gonna be with me at Shine in a few weeks, and he will be
the exact same.
He's running a PM side tournament, I'm pretty sure, and yep, he's also senior volunteering with me. And the senior volunteer team there is actually gonna be so stacked that everyone's gonna be running around like staff, we're so intimate now, to the point where Swanner is just going to be a TO with us, basically, and helping Colin and she with anything they need. Oh, Swanner's done great things for Project Voldemort, and I really appreciate his work.
No, I had him on. He was my like first episode last week, or geez, 2 weeks ago, and they were great. They are both Pooch and Swanner are just an absolute treat.
Pooch and I go way back to Chicago. He's a mess, and I love him to death.
Pooch, oh, I love Pooch.
He's
so fucking funny. But in terms of Shine, just a brief aside, is Aaron gonna be going to Shine?
Yes. Josh Weber couldn't make it because he's representing GHQ at Super Smash Con in what, 3 days?
Yeah.
So Aaron and Swanner were able to come out and represent GHQ and hype up Smash and Splash 5 and represent and like just be a part of the team and kick ass with us. And I'm really excited. Like, Smash and Splash 5 is going to be a lot better, and we are just so pumped. Like, the experiences that we're going to have with Swanner and Aaron outside of that environment will be beneficial for everyone. And then when I come back to them, they can boss me around and I can boss them around, and we could all just be a team, and it's going to be so beautiful.
Agreed. No, I mean,
because I mean, they are great at what they do, and I think Smash and Splash 4 was an insane success, but they've not had the pleasure or privilege to be able to travel to these events because they've just been trapped in Chicago. And now that their events are getting more popular and GHQ has a little bit more money and we can like offer them senior volunteer, I'm just really pumped for them to come out and see Shine.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited for the Smash and Splash crew to grow a lot, because damn,
it's the hypest Midwest event. Like, I mean, the Full Bloom is sick, and I love Full Bloom a lot. But Smash Splash is a water park, dude. And like, for some reason, that it's not like, what's the opposite of a curse? A blessing? That tournament has a blessing in the sense that it always has the hypest matches. Like, Smash and Splash 3 and 4 were all just insane matches everywhere. Everyone just killing everyone. Zane, Cal, like, Leffen, blah, 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 Armada. Like, you know, like, S2G almost beat Armada there, wasn't it? Or was that a Genesis? That was Genesis. But I mean, like, there's, yeah.
That was Genesis, yeah.
But there's still just so many hype matches, you know?
Oh, I mean, Smash and Splash 3 was just unbelievable. I had no idea how any of that happened. I was just like, I'm here at a water park, and I'm at top 8 sitting next to ESAM and EE and like hanging out with Disciple. What is happening? I don't know any of these people.
Disciple's bae.
Oh, I love Disciple.
He's security OG with me. He's amazing. Every single event that we run together, top 8 is just him and I hanging out near the stage, having a good time, making sure people aren't acting a fool, and also acting a fool in the right way and having a good time. And it's just so fun to bounce with him and just hang out. Like, just He's the most beautiful ball of energy I've ever met. D, if you're reading or hearing this, like, we love you. You are seriously like one of the most loved people in this community. Oh my God, everyone has such positive opinions of him.
Well, I mean, he is the co-host of this podcast.
I did not know that. You've not told me that. So if he hears this, that's going to be sick. I'm glad. He almost flew out to my birthday party, but then I got a MRSA infection and crashed my car. So it didn't happen. But Disciple is the bae.
Yeah, no, he's just like, I'll be back in the middle of August, but I'm going to take a little bit of time off, you know, about 3 or 4 weeks ago. So I've been doing it alone.
He'll be at Shine though, alone.
I don't know.
I assume I'll see him at Big House at the very latest.
Yeah, you'll see him at Big House for sure. I feel like there's something else he's going to.
But... Probably Super Smash Con. He goes to that every year.
Nah, this year he has to go to his aunt's funeral.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I think he was trying to go to SmashCon, but I mean, right before no. He decided to go to Evo instead of SmashCon, but right after top eight, he found out that his aunt had passed away. So,
oh no, I'm so sorry, D.
Yeah, it's rough for him. He's sad.
I'll give him a big hug and we'll give him some love when we see him again. So about Evo and Leffen, like, so what did you think of top eight? How did you, like, all the upsets, Rishi beating Michi King, Swedish beating Armada, like, some crazy upsets in the, earlier in the bracket. You're seeing, like, AMSA not even getting top 32. Like, there's just a lot of, like, really crazy matches. How do you feel about how the bracket went? And, like, what kind of upsets do you think were deserved or perhaps not?
So first...
I'm like interviewing you now. I'll talk about it.
I'm so happy. No, it's fine. I'm so happy Leffen won. Like, like I said earlier, he's fought so goddamn hard and he's so passionate and so sincere about it all. So, like, super happy for him in that respect. But the way he did it, he was just on a goddamn another level.
His Fox was some of the best Fox I've ever seen in my entire life.
Agreed.
The speed. And the execution and the technicality of what he was doing with that character. My jaw was on the floor the entire top eight for him. Like, I was just he's like, you could tell he was like Super Saiyan, like.
Especially after that first game. First game nearly gets four stocked by Hungrybox. Comes back,
like,
just.
The patient, like, game two was a little murky, a little weird, and then kind of pulled it out. And then game three was pretty damn shut out and clear.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, and then that was like the page turn. And then every single game, every single stock that Leffen had after that was godlike.
I mean, he lost one game and then won two against Hungrybox, three against Plup, three against Armada.
Yeah, it was 3-0 each. Yeah, so like you lost your first game and almost get four stock by HBox, and then you literally win eight games in a row and wreck, and then win 3-0 grand finals against arguably the second or third best, if not one of the best players in the world, Armada, for a very long time. I mean, shut up.
I'd say historically probably the number one player.
He's the best player.
Of all time. No. I'm pretty willing to say that Armada is historically the greatest of all time. I'm not afraid of that.
Yeah, there's a lot of emotional like dissonance going on for me going into grand finals at Evo, because Armada is a homie. Adam's a great guy. He's a friend of mine. I care about him. I love Peach. I'm biased. I'm a Peach player, but I believe in Leffen, and his storyline is so beautiful, and he's worked so hard, and he's also playing so well enough to deserve it. So going into that grand final, Kyle Appleqvist, like Apple, he tweeted something about like $10 on one of them, and I didn't know what to say. It was like if I was in third grade as a little gay boy and you asked me Backstreet Boys or NSYNC, like, what the fuck, how do you choose between that? Like, I want to say it was like 51% Armada, because like that would have been the Greatest Losers run storyline of all time, and still arguably pretty much was. And you know, it's Peach, but then like Leffen deserved it, so it's just 49 Leffen, but you know, I'm always team Armada.
Yeah, no, Oh, I was in the exact same boat. I mean, I was on Skype or on Discord with a friend, and so after Smash and Splash, I've become really pretty good friends with Android, and so as kind of like a result, I've become more of an Armada fan. So
yes.
I'm sitting there like,
Yeah, and I don't like the Peach pick on FD. I know the chain throw exists, but Leffen is literally the best player in the world at that matchup, Fox Peach. And it's just too wide. Like, Leffen just abused the lasers, abused the space, abused. Like, he's just really shown that he's just pushed Peach out of Fox meta at his level. Like, it's just, I mean, like, Laud's obviously doing great things. Other Peach players are really coming along. Armada can still wreck face with Peach, but she just relies on so many, like, neutral closes that are hard to get and, like, perfect read or perfect reaction or perfect guesses on tech chase situations. And it's just, the chain throws are solid, but they weren't enough. They just weren't enough because you didn't get them four times in a row.
I'm willing to say that he does something that no one else can do in terms of what he does with Peach. Like, his understanding of Peach is just different than any other Peach player. Like, no one can play it technically the way he can just because he does those flowcharts way too quick. He just runs through them and he knows exactly how to execute them.
I think he's just also really fast. Like, there's obviously Peach tech that people do in the Peach community that they do better than Armada, and that's okay to say. That doesn't mean or take away from Armada's tech. His tech is still incredible. But Armada's, like, perfect, like, 101 to, like, 103 tech is amazing. And he doesn't go for these, like, hype double jump cancel things that are unsafe where you, like, lose your second jump or, you know, he could Q drop some turnips a little more, and you see that going on in the Peach R&D and all that, but no one's moving as fast, and no one's shield dropping as fast, and no one's, like, dropping these L canceled up airs into, like, follow-ups on the ground from platforms as fast as him. Like, you look at all these Peach players, and they're not as tight as him. So we were talking about Evo and, like, the top 8 bracket and, like, what we thought about some upsets and stuff, and then we eventually got into, like, just Leffen and Armada, but, like, I want to hear about, like, what you thought about Top 64 or, like, anything hype in Friday or Saturday time. Well, I guess Top 8 was Sunday, but...
Sunday was Top 8. I worked a double on Friday, so I didn't see anything Friday, and Saturday I was just, like, busy with something else outside of the time I was working, so I didn't actually get to watch any Smash. I didn't watch any Evo until Sunday. So... rip me. Also, just in terms of Evo, though, can we talk about the payouts for a second?
I didn't know what the payouts were. I know that Aaron Toller had asked on Twitter that I retweeted about, like, what he would pay top 8 and, like, what would you pay? And, like, a lot of people responded with some pretty agreeable answers, but was, like, Evo completely botched or something?
I mean, so 7th place got $130.
Wait, 7th place got how much?
$130.
Yeah, it was like 1% or 2.5.
Let me see if I can tell you exactly. I think it was probably 2, but yeah. It came to a point that I guess it's not updated here. Leffen said he's giving part of his winnings to the people who got 5th and 7th because they got paid remarkably too low. Like,
that's homie. Oh, that's so beautiful. And that's like the homie stock of the world.
No, I mean, 7th got about $130 and Leffen made like $8,200. And he's just like, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think the credibility and the hype that Leffen got is worth any, it's priceless. Like, he doesn't give a shit about how much money. I mean, like, it's cool that he won money, but, like, Leffen was in it to say, hey, I won Evo, so.
Yeah, no, same. I mean, yeah.
Like, Leffen... if I won Evo, I'd be like, hey, like, give me, like, $500. I don't care. I just bopped. Oh, yeah, motherfuckers. Yeah. Like, you know, like, you just got to keep it real and say, hey, like, being able to claim the mental or emotional crown in the moment to say, hey, I outplayed every person in something that I take. Like, a video game that I take, like, super seriously is, like, really great.
So, it was 60% for first place, 20% for second place. And then the last 20% was split between 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th. Well,
3rd got shafted, too, then. Like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would probably think it'd be like 40, 45. Like, maybe 50 at most, but, like, I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's what I was saying. I mean, I don't remember what my breakdown was on that thread that Aaron posted. I think I said like 40% for first place, and it broke down so that 7th, what did I have? 7th would get 4%. 5th mm-hmm. would get 7.5%. 4th would get 11, 16, 20, and 30.
Yeah, that sounds good. I mean, like, that's fine. As long as, I mean, like, to come to 7th or 5th place in, like, a top 8 at, like, a 1300 community is, like, insane. Like, you should get more than, like, $20 for it.
Oh, definitely.
yeah, I mean, like, Leffen's the homie, and I'm sure Armada was pissed off that he didn't get as much money as he deserved to for that loser's run. So it's like, I don't know. I mean, like, we should speak positively on Evo, but I also think we should be real about Evo, because this is not a Nintendo or Evo podcast, and I don't work for Mr. Woods and I don't work for Evo, but I do love what they do, and I love what they have done for video gaming. And agreed. I think that it's important to speak on the positives that Evo does, because the Smash community has created these rule sets and come to find that these rule sets are just more fair and legit, having 3 out of 5s on top, 96 when you have waterfall brackets, stuff like that, you know? Evo consistently does 2 out of 3 until, like, the top 3 players are left.
The last three players
remain. And that's because the fighting game format for years and years and years has always been 70, 30, 20, like, first 3, win, and then they started paying out top 8, and then they started, like, we just start expanding all these rule sets because we just, like, don't want to do just top 3 anymore. We want to do top 8. And we can't pay everyone all this money. The frustrating reality is that the Smash community has, like, created our own, like, standardized rule sets because we've been pushed away by that community for so long and trying to fight for validation. So we've, like, we do have weird rules because we have a weird fighting game, and that's, like, okay.
Yeah.
But it doesn't fit into the Evo format. So I think everyone just needs to take a step back and realize that this is a platform for other games that's showcasing us. The counter response to that, or the devil's advocate response to that, is to say, hey, like, that's not fair. Smash is a fighting game, but we are a different kind of fighting game, and, like, we're lucky and grateful, and we should be grateful to have gotten this far as a non-traditional 2D fighter, you know?
Agreed. I mean, you know, I definitely understand.
ESPN, like, Evo is a platform for fighting games and video games in general. Like, it normalizes and shows moms at home that might flip through ESPN while their kids, like, eat dinner, you know, like, that Smash is cool, so... I don't know.
You know, it's something that, like, I grew up knowing Evo as where I would go to watch, like, fighting games that weren't Smash. And their rule sets are, like you said, they're pretty standardized across the board. And I understand Mr. Wiz's thought of, like, oh, if we're bringing in another, what is a fighting game, albeit a different fighter, we'll have the same rules. And, I mean, like you said, Smash is just not... Smash isn't like Tekken. It isn't like Street Fighter. It isn't like Mortal Kombat. It functions drastically differently.
Yeah, so absolutely.
It requires a different set of rules. But I just don't know if... Like, obviously, the glory of Evo is great. And having that platform is amazing. I mean, breaking 200,000 viewers... without goddamn ninja restreaming for Melee is huge. Yeah. That's massive.
Yeah, it's a gigantic amount. I was really hyped. It was, like, almost past Fortnite, I think it was, for a while.
No, it was past Fortnite for a while.
Good. I wasn't following, like, the viewers. I think I was just watching, but I saw it had, like, 209, and I was just like, what?
Yeah, no, it was higher than Fortnite for a while. And, you know, that is a testament to the Melee community, but... I just don't know how much we as a community can invest in Evo if they're not willing to, like, at least say, all right, for top 8, at the very least, best out of 5.
I don't know. I think that we should just respect... Oh my god, my friend's playing Overwatch. I think that we should accept it for what it is and appreciate the good things about it, but know that it is a traditional fighting game platform and not a eclectic fighting game platform. And I think that we should, like, support it. And I think that if we are ordering it on the menu and it comes on the plate and it looks exactly like it does on the menu, and then we eat it all and we chew it up and we swallow it and we eat it all, and then we go home and go, that sucked. Like, that's not really fair. Like, we keep going every year. And, like, and when you lose a 2 out of 3 in top, like, 16 and you get 13th place, and I'm like Lod or SGJ or, like, we just, like, PPU someone out there who's a great high caliber player, I sat down with you and I knew days ago and 20,000 matches ago that I might have to be here right now and play 2 out of 3 with you. But we both agree to that vacuum situation. Like, if two people sit down and agree to a rule set every year, and I mean, if you could easily argue that 3 out of 5 would influence a lot of those matches the other way, and it's very easy to do that. It's very easy. I mean, it's frustrating.
2 out of 3 does,
but the alternate reality for those players that
just allows,
like, they sat down.
Yeah, two out of Sorry. I was going to say 2 out of 3, it breeds more upsets because it's shorter. It's easier to get 2 matches won than it is to get 3. Very simple.
So, I mean, it's crazy because, like, you have speed chess. You ever play speed chess where you, like, 2-minute timer and you're, like, hitting the things and trying to go as fast as you can?
I have, and I'm not good at it.
No, it's a whole different game than regular chess.
Than chess.
But you can't make the argument that 2 out of 3s is like speed chess. Like, you can't make the argument that it's like a different game. It's not as counterpicking. You don't have enough time to download, but you're still putting yourself in that vacuum situation. And also the striking is like the banning. Like, it's just frustrating.
I mean, it's, yeah. I don't necessarily mind it as a spectator, obviously, because, man, it's great. It just keeps moving. It keeps on rolling forward. There's no stopping that train.
But as a spectator who doesn't watch Smash competitively, even if you were like a freaking Street Fighter player who took it kind of casually, if you watched Top 8 at Evo Melee and they had 3 out of 5, you probably wouldn't care or notice. Like, you probably wouldn't say, oh, that's crazy, this match is really long. Or you wouldn't find yourself saying, well, why is this one going to game 4 or 5 when every other... You'd probably just eat it up for what it is and love it. Like, you probably literally wouldn't cross your mind. Like, that's my opinion, is like... If these are the standardized rule sets that the majority of a competitive community are using for each respective game, just use their rule sets. It's that simple. Like, why can't the Destroyer just say, hey, main Street Fighter TOs and CO and all these people that have all these crazy Street Fighter events that aren't mine, let's get together and talk about it. Like, it's just that simple. Like,
I mean, what I do think is the 3 out of 5 just, I mean, obviously it takes longer, but as long as viewers are happy, especially with Evo, where, again, we're guests, we are not like the rest of them there, and, you know, we can't really expect to be treated like we own the place.
But we're not like acquaintances, we're like good family.
No.
Now, like,
of course,
maybe not good family, but good friends. Like, we go over to their house for dinner a couple times. Like, I think we should still fight to be that fighting game that is that family. I think
we still get invited to the barbecue.
I agree.
You know, when we come, we bring mama's special potato salad. We make sure to bring the special potato salad.
The I was gonna say something about Brawl, but I can't make fun of Brawl. I want to.
No, I was just gonna make a Swedish joke.
It's like the Meta Knight Swedish potato salad.
No, I was gonna say a Swedish potato salad.
Oh gosh, yeah, that was really cool to see Sweden in like top 2, and like just North America doesn't win again.
Sounds like soccer.
That's true. Oh, so are you going to be at Shine?
No.
But you will be at the Big House, correct?
No, I'm Shine. I have more of a chance of going to SmashCon. Shine. I guess, like, very loosely could potentially happen. I could make it happen by the end of this month if I were to like have someone buy the ticket ahead of time and pay him back, but I'd rather save my money for a little bit. Are you going to be at Genesis? That's the real question.
Yeah, I assume I haven't like got the official word from Sheridan, but I should be staffing Genesis with my team, hopefully. We had a great time at 4 and 5, and DDR and the Groove was hyped there, and I got it pop, and we had a great time. It was
So what
working
you're,
with
what you're telling
Sheridan
me is they're going to get rid of Smash and replace it with DDR.
No, DDR is being featured at a lot of these events. Hey, shout outs to the DDR community. I am so excited that we are being featured in like Storm and like CEO and Storm and Big House and Genesis. Like, some of the communities that are a part of the dancing community in those areas bring their machines and sponsor these events or ask to be welcomed there. And like, I don't know how they work it out. I would hope they profit a little bit from it. Maybe they don't. I mean, we're used to not making money from dance game events. But it's super grassroots, man. Like, you guys, I started in the documentary phase. Like, Zenith 2013 was like, or 2013, yeah, 13 was like my first event after like the documentary and all that. And like, Project M was getting hype. And like, I've seen the darkest days of Melee, dude. Like, when I was in New England, I would drive to Rhode Island with like Mofo and like Zozo, and there would be like 3 or 4 other people at this like house in Rhode Island, maybe sometimes 9 or 10, and it was like a weekly. It was the weekly that we would go to, and we're just like, yeah, like, oh, you know, God. And like, there would still be really good talent there, like freaking like Fish It, or it would come up sometimes, or like I mean, Court, you know, like there was good player, like Slocks. I mean, I met Slocks at Hall of Gaming with like 15 people. That was it. And it was like the weekly there.
I mean, after the show, I'll have to tell you a kind of crazy coincidental story.
But like the dance game. Oh, sorry.
General. Oh, I was just going to say general gist of the story is I worked in South Carolina on a organic farm for a little bit. And it was just like a volunteer thing. And one of the guys that moved in after I got there used to live like a block down from Mango and used to regularly see drunk ass like 21-year-old Mango just at locals.
Nice.
And get bodied, but occasionally take a stock off as Puff.
Nice.
But yeah, I've heard plenty of Mango stories from this guy who he would drive like an hour and a half south to go to locals or to like monthlies.
Damn, that's too far. Nope. But it was kind of like that. I mean, we would drive down to Rhode Island. We drove to Zenith. They had like the weekly at not G-Town, but Game Underground, GU. And that was cool. But it was really small. I remember when I met like Mafia and Mofo for the first time when they told me to like join their community, and they had like a 10-person weekly at GU. And I was like, oh, I played Peach in high school. And then my ex kind of used to play Melee. Like my ex actually played with JV in Michigan before he even started playing DDR with me. And before he started playing DDR with me, he never told me about it. So then when I like played Melee in New England, I started talking to him about it. And he told me that he like used to play Melee competitively. And then I learned from him. And then I moved to Chicago. The rest was history. But my original point back to the dance game thing is I've seen Grassroots, dude, and like the fact that these Smash events are hosting dance games is like super hype for me. Like dance games is like always a dream.
I mean, I am not good at DDR, but I used to love the ever living daylights out of it. I used to play like every day after school, go home, my parents bought a dance mat, and I would play that thing from like 3:30 until 6 every day.
Yes, queen. I mean, they have some bangers on there, like
"Oh Yeah,
You're All That I Want When You're Lying Here." You know what I mean? Heaven.
I'm trying
song.
To think. There was, do you remember Kind Lady on DDR Max 2?
I absolutely remember Kind Lady. Would you be the kind lady that I'm seeking?
All dude, that song time is lit. And it be true love.
Yeah, dude, that was my first AAA. That was my first competitive AAA in the game.
That song.
It's really crazy. I started in February of 06, and like everyone had all these AAAs, and that's like a perfect score on like one of the hardest difficulties. Like, hey, how many AAAs do you got? What kind of AAAs do you have? Like, what songs? And Kind Lady was my first one a year and one day later. That's when I was like, yeah, let me get into this game. Competitive
kind
fight.
Kind Lady was one of the first songs that I got a full combo on.
It's just that Japanese like city 80s groove, that guitar and everything. Ooh, the production on Kind Lady is sick, nasty.
Yeah, dude, DDR Max 2 was a gem, like an absolute gem.
For PS2, yeah, it was the whistle song.
Blow my whistle, baby.
Oh my god, okay. So you're not going to be at Big House, but I'll see you at Genesis. That'll be cool.
At Genesis. I'll be living in the Bay. If you come a day early, I'm trying to convince some people to come out early, and then I want to just like hang out in San Francisco. There's a like in the city, and it's kind of tucked away, is this place called Urban Putt.
Okay.
And it's just a mini golf place that you can drink at, and it's all like in San Francisco, so it's all very techy and kind of steampunky. There's like an under the ocean submarine themed area, and it's all in this tiny little building.
This sounds precious. I would love to go into there. I've been to San Francisco, but I've never heard about.
I mean, Nas, this is the thing. You gotta, if you're coming to San Francisco, come a couple days early.
Well, I'll probably stay late. I usually stay till Wednesdays after events and chill with the locals. Smash and Splash and Shine, I always just hang with friends. So I'll just hang with like you and other homies like Jackie and stuff.
I was gonna say, you're probably gonna be stuck with the Swedes and I a little bit.
That's fine. I love Adam and the areas and like. When I came to San Francisco, I hung out with Jackie and like DJ Nintendo for like a whole day before we even went to like Genesis stuff. So, yeah.
Man, I'm so excited to get back to the Bay. I lived in the Bay for a little bit, and my literal first interaction with people in Smash was a very drunk Dewan.
I'm not yelling.
That was, That was the first person I ever met. Just
was he yelling at you?
He was just yelling.
He's funny. I like Duan. He's hilarious.
I mean, I love seeing him at events. I've got a good couple of Duan stories now. It's great. But my first interaction was Duan, and then I met CJ, and the vision that he had for the Foundry and for Showdown was just like it flipped a switch. I was just like, oh my god, you can do this in such a way that you are just doing it for everyone. I want to do that. I want to do this in such a way that it is good for everyone.
And are you doing that now?
I'm doing that now.
I take
great pride in doing that now.
My favorite shroom story real fast is from Big House 4, where my boy Dart almost beat him with Marth. And everyone's like, oh, well, no, Marth's going to beat shroom. That's hilarious. And Dart took him to game 3 and went Doc on, I think it was Yoshi's. It was really hype.
I think the only shroom story that I can think of that I want to say on air is when I sat and watched him commentate his own match drunk.
Good times.
Just, I mean, it's exactly what you thought it would be. It's just him yelling about how he missed something and how he shouldn't have missed it and how he's bad, but the other person is also bad. It was great.
So there's Genesis will be the first Smash 4 Ultimate event. Or is it Smash Ultimate? It's not Smash 4.
Smash Ultimate.
It'll be the first Ultimate event, so I'm excited to see what they do there.
Technically, no, because apparently Dope Park and the Grass is also running it, like, the week after it comes out.
Oh, I mean, hopefully I can make it out there. I'm trying to go, and help out Aiden and hang out, so we'll see what's up. That would be insane to see Ultimate, like, that fast. That would be exciting to see, like, what top-level players are coming.
I mean, if you want to see a tournament literally the day it comes out, or I guess the day after, go to St. Louis. Smash Out 2018 is running Ultimate.
Oh, that's not too far from me. Maybe I will.
It's not. I'm trying to get Vicky Kitty to go too, because I helped them out with an event a couple weeks ago and had her commentate part of the block. And she had a blast. Nice. So trying to convince her to go out for that. But kind of in terms of doing this in a way that helps everyone, one of the things that Mind Games kind of focuses on, I mean, we've covered a lot of stuff, but Mind Games tends to focus on like mental health and kind of understanding our community, how to improve it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really important.
You have become someone through Stop Your Friendlies and through volunteering at, you know, all of the biggest events, that is a recognizable face. And I think that, you know, any former stigmas that may have existed have kind of been broken down. Would you agree?
I think we have a lot of work to go. I don't know. I think the Smash community is definitely one of the more welcoming communities out of like video game communities in general. But there's still so many stream monsters and trolls out there, and like, you know, maybe they're just like 12 or 13 or 14, sometimes 17, you know, that are just uneducated or unintentionally ignorant or just taught to hate. And the Smash community is like one of the weirdest communities ever. Like, you're gonna have so many, like, I like to say GSRM, gender, sexual, romantic minority. I think that's like all inclusive of your LGBTQA extended people. And like, I think the most important thing is to just try to make it a safe space. But like, the stream chats are just always going to be so bad, because it's just like in any community, when you have like an oversaturation, but when you have a lot of people in it and it gets a little big, you know, there's just going to be people like that. So you just keep trying. But I've definitely done some stuff with a little bit of Smash Sisters and supporting them, and shout outs to Lillian and like Alex and Leah and all the Smash Sisters is just so hype. Kyle Nola, she's doing her graduate like study and like doing all of her psychological studies on her sports, and like, you know, Spenda's a good friend of mine, and I said Alex already, Sweet D, Alex Grove, but she's like a really good friend of mine, and Me Too Queen is just a sweetheart. Like, I think that so many of the Smash Sisters are doing good things for the Smash community in general. And I think the fact that women felt safe enough to kind of start coming out with Me Too is why the code of conduct harassment, like, contracts going around, and like, hopefully more events that are super majors are going to sign on to that to keep our people safe. And it just feels really validating, because, you know, I've been called like a faggot at a tournament before, and I haven't had like the shit beat out of me or anything like that, but I've not felt safe at Smash events before, and that's not okay. You know, like, we're already like black sheep of our family just trying to be video game nerds. Like, let us fucking live our lives, you know? Yeah. That's kind of my mind drop about it.
It's something that I've experienced the full gamut of toxicity because I played League, and in a sense League desensitized me to it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it always pissed me off. And I remember initially getting into Smash, I remember thinking there were some aspects that were really toxic, and there was definitely like some hardcore toxic masculinity involved. And I think in the last like 3 years especially, a lot of stuff has changed. But yeah, no, we definitely still have a lot to do. There's still a lot of work to do. And like you said, Kyle and everyone working on the sexual conduct, I guess, constitution or
it's just a code of conduct, like rule set, and like not really a contract because it's not like legal binding, but it's just like it's a group of people that I think a lot of us can really trust, and they've come together to create and like construct a guideline and rule set for disciplinary action. I mean, there's nothing, you're not going to be arrested, they can't like do that unless like something illegal goes on and you should be arrested, but you know, it creates a tier system for punishment and discipline in a community that needs it to keep people safe. And I've had transgender and female smashers come up to me at, I met a transgender smasher at Smash 4, and she came up to me and we were hanging in the pool with like 10 or 20 of us. And she said, "Hey, like, thanks for being so you." And I was like, "What?" She's like, it means a lot that you're like really in our corner. And you make this place so safe." And I just started crying. It was just like, and I hugged her and I was like, "Hey, like, I get it. Like, well, I mean, I don't get it, but I'm friends with a lot of transgender people, and I'm friends with a lot of women who have suffered from misogyny, and I've been guilty of doing things to other men and women, I mean, in my ignorance and youth, and just stop and do better, you know?"
I mean, I think a lot of people have made the mistakes, and I think what dictates our community being as good as we can be is understanding that we made the mistakes, and understanding both what the mistakes are and how to remedy them. And I think a lot of smashers are a lot more conscious of that. I think a lot more like of the big personalities are much more willing to be open and vocal about those issues as they arise in our community.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, and it all goes full circle. Like I grew up in like a really rough, like low income, like white Southwestern Ohio area, like kind of rural Appalachian. And I didn't travel much growing up. I grew up pretty poor, you know, just the easiest way to say that. I grew up kind of poor and rough, and I wasn't able to travel until I started playing DDR competitively and started getting enough money or raising enough money and going with my friends and carpooling to these events. And video games saved my life by not just like having the fun of competition, but like meeting more people. I was able to like leave my region and see more areas of the country, and then eventually, well, hopefully the world soon, but like see more areas of the Midwest and then eventually the country. And you know, it wasn't until I met my friend Kusai in Boston, who told me a lot about, and Niall, who told me a lot about privilege and understanding your privilege, and that I am a white man. I mean, yes, I'm gay, and that is a disadvantage, but it's just make sure you know where all the lines in the sand are drawn and use it to empower people who are less, because, you know, there's always going to be people that need help, and you have to help them. It's just the right thing to do.
Agreed. I mean, that's, you know, kind of the point of Mind Games is to give a voice in a sense to it, the disenfranchised who have struggled with mental health or mental illness and have struggled with depression in some way, shape, or form. Because I, as a gamer who has struggled immensely with depression, I find it so, so important just to talk about it.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
More often than not, I think that if we as a community are willing to talk about these things and improve our discourse, I do think that we are better off for it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you have to be vulnerable and you have to be strong and confident, and it's scary and it's a lot of anxiety for people, but like if you just throw yourself out there and have a real conversation about what makes you uncomfortable and what scares you, and maybe someone says, "Hey, like, did you realize that that's happening? Or do you notice that you do this? Or do you notice that that's that you think like that, and then you just try to open other people's eyes and try to keep your eyes open and see things, you know. But the point is to meet someone halfway and like be willing to talk about it. And I think the Smash community is like one of the most vulnerable communities I've ever met. I say that word all the time. Even my coworker Josh Casale makes fun of me for it. But I think just be real and be aware, you know, see how you can help other people who don't have as much as you.
Yeah, no, it's amazing to me because I feel like Smash in a sense is able to be a net for a lot of people, where it picks up people from a lot of different backgrounds, almost more so than most other games. And in that sense, I feel like it also picks up a lot of outcasts almost. And there is a unity in that. There's a shared experience in being the outcast. And I think Smashers have really kind of banded together both as a whole community and as these small groups to use Smash as almost group therapy.
Absolutely. Right? I think it's been an outlet and a safe space for me many times in the darkest parts of my depression. Like, events have saved my life, literally. Like, just this community means so much to me, and like everyone really cares, and I think it's just so beautiful. And I actually feel really bad because I didn't hear the beginning of what you said. I heard like the last half of it because my internet like started freaking out and you muted.
Oh no, I'm just always impressed because I think Smashers are inherently outcasts. I think Smash is a net that picks up a lot of people from a lot of communities. And so the shared experience therein, it leads to Smash being something we can, even if we're playing can become a background thing that we're doing while we're talking, while we're, you know, venting our frustrations. Because like you said, I've had a lot of times where playing Smash with friends has led to me like opening up and getting frustrated and voicing out what's bothering me. And I need that.
Yeah, and I would encourage people who already like are starting to feel safe in these communities, and like if they're introverted or like, you know, a type B kind of person, Smash can sometimes actually enable people to be introverted with friendly setups. I think sometimes people sit down and just play and play and play and play. And I think I'm going to challenge more people to, like, I mean, it's so easy for me to say, so it's not really fair because I'm extremely extroverted, but like meet some of the Smashers around you and like ask them about how they're doing, because you will meet some incredible people. And that's my moderate challenge for people who, you know, just really are an outcast and like are introverted and got involved in that play and are just obsessed with Texco. I mean, I think that's super great, but I think you can get a lot of both worlds in the community, you know?
Yeah. And as long as we talk about it, we can move forward and kind of mesh together. But it's very hard for people to start talking, you know?
Yeah, it is. It's been a ride. I've had a lot of people, not a lot, but I've had a handful of Smashers like come forward to me about like safe things that they trust in. Like, it's very scary and very like, I mean, I've cried reading these things and tried to be the best friend that I could be to that person in the moment. And, you know, it's scary. People don't even want to go public about like assault and things like that, about that, what happens to them. And because the community is just not safe sometimes. And I think that we're getting better. I think I believe in us getting better, but we have a lot of work to do. And I think we're on the right side of the fence of that. And I hope we can just continue to be.
Just keep on growing. I mean,
absolutely.
You've been in the scene for what now?
Almost six years now. I started in December of 12, yeah.
So, if you had to grade the community when you got into it versus how it is now, how would you grade it?
Oh my God. The scores that I would assign those 2 years would be disparate. Like, that's the word I would say. Antipodal. Like, we are so far beyond where we were in 2012. It was like, oh, you got gimped off the ledge, raped, faggot, fucking cunt. Like, I'm just like, what? it was just really fucking horrible stuff. And we're just doing a lot better about not saying that stuff. And it's a good thing. You know, triggers are a thing. And, you know, I used to throw the R word around, and I said, yeah, you should make sure you tag this, actually, because I said that word. and make sure you like put a warning so that people know that I'm going to say that word.
I think
or just remove it entirely, because triggers are a thing, and it's unfair for people to like enforce their non-triggers onto people who might have them. And it's like, don't let that bother you. Like, hey, fuck you, dude. You're not the guy with PTSD when I like had a traumatic experience that might be triggered by a word. So fuck you. That's my thought on that. I think that the jargon and the jargon of the community, the vernacular, I don't know, the community has just gotten a lot better. I think people start to care about other people more when they speak or commentate or type on Facebook posts other than like Melee Hell or 420 Hell or whatever it is. But the quality has gone up about social justice, I guess, to say.
I mean, I think in a lot of ways the fact that Smash has become more of like an open community, it's super easy to access a Smash community. I think that has resulted in people realizing like, oh wait, I can't really just embarrass our entire community anymore. Can't do that.
Well, NetPlay, man, I don't know. I think Smash community is accessible, but man, NetPlay, what do you think about that?
I ask you that. I have not NetPlayed.
I think that NetPlay is great because it gets people better at the game faster, but like I said about the people that are type B and introverted, like they might not, a lot of people don't even go to weeklies or anything anymore unless it's like really big or really close, because everyone can just get better on NetPlay for free and not drop money, and you know.
Very true. Well, I gotta wrap it up, but
cool.
Thank you so much for coming on, Chuck.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me. I had a good time talking about Melee and like where we were and where we're going, and just, you know, loving Smash. I think this community is great, and it's awesome that I met you at Smash and Splash and got to do this with you tonight.
I mean, I'm looking forward to hanging out more, and I'll have to have you back on. You're too much fun not to have back on.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I had a good time. I'm down to give you my opinion on anything.
So last two things before we go, I guess last one thing and the closer here. What do you think about the future of Melee? Where do you think we stand? I mean, 2018's been, it's been a really good year for Melee. We've seen tons of variants. We've seen a lot of upsets, a lot of people come out of the woodwork to just be way better than we had ever given them credit.
Yeah.
Where do you think Melee stands?
If you asked me a year ago, I wouldn't even see like these placements at Evo or Smash and Splash and all this happening. Like Mango not getting like what he hasn't gotten top four in events this year. Stuff like that, you know? I mean, Armada has kind of fallen off. I mean, he's won a couple here and there. I mean, Smash and Splash, and like, but you know, he's dropping stuff to HBox a lot, and Leffen's a god now, and Plup is, you know, amazing as well. It's, I think the future is bright. I mean, we thought HBox was going to dominate for a million years, and he did, and he, not a million years, but he did really well for like a good while, and we were worried, like, oh, what can Fox do? And now it's happening. Plup beat him, you know, Leffen beat him, and people were beating him. You know, and Armada's just going to get better, so he'll just beat Leffen. People are just improving. Like, I think Peach, unfortunately, I think Peach is on the fall off, and I think that she has been for a while, but I love her, and I think that, you know, maybe Lotte will blow my freaking mind or someone else soon, and
Kong's really good. Find something.
Blade-wise still in it. You know, there's tons of Peaches that are, like, Wavebringer. Like, we have a stacked crew in the Peach group. Sorry, shout out to them. I'm a Peach player through and through. But, you know, Falcon's, like, getting better and better every year. Falcon is discovering that if you play him perfectly and you don't miss anything ever once, you can kill everyone in 5 seconds. Like, Wizzy is just taking that character to insane levels. SCJ's obviously has the brain to do it. I don't know. I think Melee's fine. I think the meta is alive and still evolving. Puff is going up and down, you know?
I mean, I'm so excited. I'm seeing Marth become like, oh shit, Marth can beat anyone again.
I think Marth can beat anyone. I think Marth's the best character in the game.
I agree. No, I agree entirely. I'm like,
dude, I have to say Puff, though. The way HBox plays that character, man.
But, I mean, Marth just seems like an impenetrable wall.
I think it's definitely Fox, Marth, Puff, and then, like, Falco and everyone else. I don't know. I think Fox, Marth, and Puff are, like, the best.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
I don't know. But, I mean, like, Falco's great, but, like, his recovery does hold him back, whereas there's situations where Fox does get back faster and easier every time, where Puff would kill Falco every single time, no matter what, you know?
Yep.
It's just, like, you're inherently worse because of that. Like, I don't know. Falco has sick pressure and cool stuff like that, but... yeah, I think we're heading towards... I think Falcon's on the way up. I think Ice Climbers are on the way down. I think Peach is on the way down, but maybe, like,
slower than ice climbers. Samus is probably heading somewhere up, if anything, but she's kind of just chilling. I wish we had more Luigi. Martha's a dumpster. Falco's really damn good. I mean, you're going to see the same... You're going to see the same top three, though. I think it'll be Fox and Puff for a long time. I think Fox and Puff will be the next few years.
I miss seeing Sheik. I'm just going to put it out there.
I'm not putting Sheik out there. I actually didn't acknowledge her on purpose. There's no Sheik in the game. Like, no, Sheik's fine. I'm triggered.
Well, last thing I want you to take the floor.
Okay, go ahead.
Plug anything you want to do. So
go to Shine. No, screw that. Go to Shrine, obviously, but go to your weekly. Go to your regional. Go to your nearest super major on a realistic spectrum that you can attend. Volunteer, care, play, have fun, spectate, like eat, rage, laugh, and have joy. I don't know. I think that Smash events are so hype, and you can meet great people and see really a great esport. And if you want to help out, let me know. Let any of the staff know. The whole community is just amazing. Like, even TOs that I don't work with, like, for events that I don't coordinate with, like, just go to your local community and see how amazing it is. I think everyone should just get out there and play more Smash. That's it.
All right, well. That has been Mind Games again with Chuck, a.k.a. Mudkip, a.k.a. Back That Bear Up on Twitter. Queue up some Insane in the Rain music to play us out here. Because I can do that, because I got these bots.
I'm excited for this jam. I'm going to dance on the way out. I'm going to groove it.
All right. Well, Mind Games episode, I think this is technically episode 3 of the full show. Dunzo. All right. Thanks again, Chuck.
Thank you.